So, Andrew, here, it's a perfect place to practice, yeah? We don't have anything to do. And that's why you think about all these things that you need to do. Huh? There are only 2 more weeks there to go for the Pansa. And? Has your sati improved? Has your practice improved? The Pansa is normally the time to intensify your practice. Yeah? And? Sometimes there's a feeling to intensify everything else than practice. I mean, it's a perfect place for practicing. I mean, what we have to do is sweeping in the afternoon and going on Pindapat in the morning afterwards, cleaning the sala, and that's it. And the rest of the time is there for practice. Dhyan Chankram, Nan Samadhi, huh? sitting in Samadhi and walking Chankram. 1 hour sitting, 1 hour walking, 1 hour sitting, 1 hour walking. When we come back from the meal, we do walking meditation, sitting meditation, walking meditation, until the afternoon. We're still young. No need to rest. Oh, I'm so tired. Oh, I'm so tired. Who's telling us this? Huh? Kilesas. Kilesas are our enemy. They are not our friends, even though they suggest that as our friends. It's me. It's mine. It's myself. It's my thought. It's my idea. It's my view, it's my opinion, it's my body, it's my feelings. Yeah? We're clever and we say, yes, my Lord, you're right. But let's go first to the first noble truth. Yeah? The truth of dukkha. Yeah? It's the first noble truth. There is dukkha. Every being in every realm, and there are 31 realms of existence, has dukkha. Yeah? The 5 lower realms is... Well, we are in the 5th realm. So, the human realm, and then comes the animal realm, and then comes the ghost realm, and the angry ghost realm, and comes the demon realm, and the hell realm. So the lower 4 are the 4 are the lower realms, yeah? So, starting with the animal realm. They have lots of dukkha. And in the hell realm, they have only dukkha. I mean, the animals have sometimes sukha. Yeah? Sukha is happiness, yeah? Yeah, sometimes happy. Yeah? I mean, we take care of them. They lick our hand, yeah? Yeah, so they're happy. The ghost realms have sometimes sukha. Yeah? But in the hell realm, there's only dukkha. If you go to the human realm, then we can have 50% of sukha and 50% of dukkha, according to the Lord Buddha. When we go up in the heavenly realms, we will have more sukha. The higher we are up, the more sukha we have. But there's still dukkha. Even the devas, even the heavenly beings, even whatever we call the gods, you know, we still have dukkha. And they realize it sooner or later. And none of the realm is forever. That is something that we have to understand. The 31 realms of existence, we stay there, just like we stay in the human realm. We are born and we will die. And sometimes, you know, we stay there for 80 years, sometimes for 100 years. If it is very good, you know, we can stay there for 800 years. According to the Lord Buddha, there are sometimes civilizations where we can live for 800 years. Wow, too long. Too much dukkha, 800 years. In the heavenly realms we can stay, you know, up to 200,000 years. And in the hell realm we can stay up to 150,000 years. 150,000 years, that's a long time. Depending on our deeds, depending on our good karma and depending on our bad karma, that's where we go. We did a lot of bad karma, we go down to the lower realms. If we did a lot of good karma, we can go up to the higher realms, to the heavenly realms. But for all of it, you know, for either the human realm or for the heavenly realm, we need to keep the five precepts. And the five precepts are what? Not harming any living being, not taking what is not given, no sexual misconduct, that means having one girlfriend or one boyfriend, that is enough. Not going outside of the marriage and so on. Not using somebody because, you know, one has power over somebody for one's sexual pleasure. That's sexual misconduct. And when you look at the world, that is the number one misdeed. Boss and secretary, teacher and student. It's all very common. Sexual misconduct is very, very common in this world. Then no lies, no harsh speech. Speech that that hurts other people. And no alcohol and no drugs. These are the five precepts. If we keep the five precepts, we are allowed to come back as a human being. If we don't keep them, we will go down. So what is dukkha? What is the first noble truth? It's dissatisfaction. Dis-ease, discomfort, pain, suffering. That's all dukkha. And that is the first noble truth. The second noble truth is, why do we have dukkha? Or the origin of dukkha? It is because we want. We desire. We desire to have this, or we desire not to have this. And it's the same thing. It's desire that leads to dukkha. If you don't have desires, there is no dukkha. And we can experience that in our meditation. If we stay with the object, with our object of concentration, be it the Buddha or be it the breath, and the moment the thoughts and the and memories stop coming in, then we don't want anything. And when we don't want anything, we are happy. It's all what it takes. To make us happy, it's all what it takes, is, you know, to calm down the mind so that it doesn't think and doesn't memorize anymore. And that's it. So the origin for dukkha is this desire. And we are constantly desiring, you know, we just need to look at our life. From the beginning of our life, we want this and we don't like this. We like this and we like that and we don't like that. Constantly, and so we have constant dukkha. Trying to satisfy our greed, and there's a moment of sukha when we can do it, and there's lots of dukkha when we can't do it. If we can't get rid of our hate, then there's lots of dukkha. If we can get rid of it, you know, there's a moment of sukha. But that is not the way to do it. And the third noble truth is, there's an end of dukkha. And the fourth noble truth is that what we are practicing here. It's normally the Eightfold Path, known as the Eightfold Path, but here in the forest tradition we mostly, you know, call it the three, Sila, Samadhi and Panya. Sila are the precepts that I explained before, the five precepts. Samadhi is the ability to concentrate and get into a state of absorption, where the mind calms down, where there's nothing going on in the mind or in the citta. And then Panya is a developing of wisdom. Developing of wisdom is not developing of knowledge. Knowledge, I mean, we wouldn't need to sit here and go through all these tough times. When we sit in meditation and there's pain coming up. If there's knowledge, you know, we just read some books and get enlightened. But that's not the way. At the times of the Lord Buddha, there were no books. So what did you study? What did we study at the time of the Lord Buddha? We studied our own heart. We studied the citta. We studied the practice of samadhi. At the time of the Lord Buddha, mostly the people practicing the chanas. Nowadays, with our civilization or with our advancement in technology, with all these smartphones, we hardly can concentrate on one thing. We are constantly distracted, and it is very difficult for us to concentrate. So the only option that most of us have is the development of samadhi, the calmness or upachara samadhi, when there is no more mind. Yeah? When there is no more memory coming up and when there is no more thought coming up. That's, every one of us can do it. For some people it takes a shorter amount of time, for other people it takes a longer amount of time. And the investigation that leads to wisdom, yeah? As I said before, it's not knowledge. Yes, we can understand everything. We can read all the suttas of the Lord Buddha. We can read the short suttas, we can read the long suttas, we can read the middle suttas, yeah? And we understand what he is talking about, and if we read it and read it and read it over, then we understand everything. But that is just like, you know, we're reading, you know, all these description or travel guides, you know, to Thailand or to Bangkok or to Rome or to Moscow, yeah, or Jakarta, yeah. I mean, we can read them and read them and read them, and then we know every corner of the city, yeah. But we have never been there. So, reading, yeah, gives us an idea of what to expect, yeah. That can be an hindrance in itself, but it is not being there. Once we are there, once we are in Rome or wherever it is, yeah, Moscow or Jakarta or, it's different. It's different from reading about it. It's just like, you know, reading about samadhi or reading about the jhanas. Once you get into the jhanas, it is very different from it. The experience itself. And that is what we have to rely on. So the development of wisdom is the important thing. And what do we investigate for the development of wisdom? We investigate the things that we believe it is us. And what do we believe it is us? Number one, this body. Whenever we get up, we think we are the body. When we go to bed, you know, we think we are the body. When we wake up, we think we are the body. When we look in the mirror, we think it is us. Everything. When we take care of the body, yeah? when you remember the times when you were born, I mean, how long did it take you to train this body? Yeah? I mean, learning to walk, learning to talk, learning to think. How long did you go to school just to learn to think properly? Years, 9 years, 10 years. You went to university, I mean, it takes you 14 years. Just to think, yeah? Think and deduce. Yeah? And then, we can use this body. And of course, the mind, you know, to our full advantage. For how many years? 30 years. When we are at age 15, you know, we can use the body, or 16, we can use the body at full strength. And then at the age of 45, the body starts to decay. And it starts to decay for 40 years, yeah? Or for 50 years, depending how old we get. Maybe it's only 30 years. If we die with 60, you know, it's only 15 years. If we die with 70, you know, it's 25 years. And decaying is until, you know, until the body stops working. And we just wait. Yeah? We know, I mean, if you're young, you don't know it yet. Yeah? When I was young, I would never believe that I get old. Yeah? And once I got old, you know, I noticed, oh, this is failing, that is failing. Yeah? This is not working correctly anymore, that is not working correctly anymore. There's some pain, you know, in the back, there's some pain in wherever. The organs start to fail. And once they fail all, you know, that is called what is called death. Once the breath gets out. That is our life as a human being. Even if you don't like to hear it, you know, I mean, it is the truth. Think about it. Look at your parents if you don't know, you know. Look at your parents when they get old, you know, they complain about this, they complain about that. Their teeth, you know, their back, their muscles, there, and so on, their inner organs, they all start to fail sooner or later. And then we go to the repair shop, yeah? The repair shop, you know, it is called the hospital, yeah? And then we exchange this organ and that organ, and we meant this and meant that, just like a car. That is called the body. Yeah? When the car is not going well, you know, we give it to a tune-up station. When our body is not working well, we give it to the doctor. Yeah? And then he can tune it up for us. So we have to realize that this body is not us. That it is a very comfortable instrument, you know, to do the things that we want to do with it. But it is not us. It's not me. The Lord Buddha said, you know, it's not me, it's not mine, it's not myself. Whatever I can see, whatever I can feel, whatever I can experience cannot be me. Because who is the one who experiences it? We never ask this question. Who is the one who experiences a feeling? Who is the one who experiences a body? Who is the one who experiences the strength of the body? Who is the one who experiences, you know, the mind, and so on? Who is the one who knows about, you know, there's a thought coming in or no thought coming in, this kind of thought coming in, that kind of thought coming in? Yeah. We completely forgot about it because we are living within these five khandhas. Yeah. The first khanda is the body, you know, the second khanda is feeling, the third khanda is thought. And thought, the fourth khanda is memory and association, and the fifth khanda is consciousness. And there's nothing in this universe that is beyond, yeah, that cannot be experienced with these five khandas. Everything what is in this universe can be experienced with these five khandas. So outside of this, there is nothing, except for the citta. And that is what we have to practice to get down to. We have to get down to the citta. And the first thing that we have to do, and how we find this citta, or the one who knows that there is a feeling, the one who knows that there is a thought, the one who knows that there is a memory coming up, that is the one that we want to see, that we want to experience. And we can do that with the practice of samatha. And samatha, we can do it with anapanasati, knowing that the breath is going in, aha, realize, knowing that the breath is going in. Who knows that there is a breath? Does the breath know it's a breath? Knowing that the breath is going in, knowing that the breath is going out, at a stable point, normally around the tip of the nose. That's where we know it. Until there is no more memories and no more thoughts coming up. And then we can relax. Then we are in a safe house that we can always enter at our own will. But we have to train it, and this training might take, you know, might take weeks, might take months, or might even take years. It depends on our effort that we put in our practice. If we get easily tired, if we get easily swayed by the kilesas, you know, then we don't get very quickly there. If we are really determined not to let anything come into the mind, except for our Buddha or except for knowing of the breath, then we get there very quickly. Within a few days we can reach upachara samadhi. But just look at your own practice. See, you know, how the mind, you know, wanders all the time. Wanders, you know, in the past, goes into the future, then walks around the earth, you know, and then sooner or later it comes back, and then we realize that we have been out. Huh? That we have not been with our breath. Or the other way to reach calm is mental repetition of the word Buddha. And that we have not been with our Buddha. But if we get calm, if there is no more thought and no more memories coming up, we can feel this knowingness. Because then we start to know that the Buddha is running, or we know that the breath is coming in and going out. And we know it much clearer than we can feel it in the beginning. That is where we develop this knowing. Or also the sati. Knowing that the breath is short, knowing that the breath is long, knowing that the breath is deep, knowing that the breath is shallow. The same with Buddha. If you use the Buddha, knowing that the Buddha is fast, knowing that the Buddha is slow, knowing that the Buddha is deep, knowing that the Buddha is shallow. Knowing that we are at the beginning of the Buddha, knowing that we are at the end of the Buddha. Knowing. Not knowing with our brain, but knowing with our citta. We want to get down to the citta to see, you know, the prime mover of everything. And I compare this body, the body is the biggest obstacle, I compare this body with the car. If the driver in the car sleeps, the car doesn't go anywhere. If the driver is awake, then it goes left, right, forward or backward. And that is the same thing with the body. If the driver of the body, and that is the citta, is asleep, then the body doesn't move. The moment the body moves, you know the citta is awake. It's not resting. Once you go into upachara samadhi, the body doesn't move anymore. And if you go even a little bit further, not only in upachara samadhi, but apana samadhi, that means deep samadhi or or one-pointedness, then nothing. I mean, this whole universe disappears. Everything that we have thought of, everything that we imagine of, disappears. First the body disappears, it can slowly disappears, the feet disappear, the arms disappear, then the head disappears, and the only thing that remains is around the citta until this disappears, and then feeling disappears, memory disappears, sanya disappears, consciousness disappears, everything disappears. Nothing is left, only one-pointedness. Try to imagine. One pointer. If subject and object merges into one point, what can you say about it? Nothing. Because there is no more subject. All our world is built on subject and object. Or on head and tail. Duality. Our world, our universe is duality. If there is energy, then there is a lack of energy. If there is good, then there is bad. If there is high, then there is low. There is nothing, you know, that is without duality except for the citta itself. That is without duality. And that is, we can experience that. If you want to see that this whole universe is just more or less like an illusion, yeah, you can experience that. You just go into apana samadhi, and when you come out, you will see it. You will know it. Everything has disappeared. You're not even aware that you have a body. You're not even aware that there's a universe. Or everything what is left over is knowingness. And this knowingness doesn't know any objects, otherwise it is not apana samadhi, otherwise it is still upachara samadhi. As long as there is subject and object, as long as we know the breath, as long as we know feelings, it is upachara samadhi. But if it goes, you know, if the knowingness or the observer and the object observed goes into one, merges into one point, you can't say anything anymore because we don't have any words for it. We live in a world of duality, and then this duality suddenly ceases to exist. But you haven't died. Everybody believes, you know, I mean, we die. No. It is a preview of Nibbana. That's the third noble truth. There's an end of dukkha, and it is called Nibbana. And we can experience it for a moment. Of course, when you come out of this apana samadhi, everything is the same. Yeah? You want this, you want that, you're not satisfied with this, you're not satisfied with that. That's why we have to investigate. And the first thing that we investigate, of course, is the investigation of the body. Or maybe, you know, when you try to get calm, the investigation of pain that comes up during your sitting. You sit for an hour, or you sit for 2 hours, and the pain becomes excruciating. The moment you get up, there's no more pain. What kind of pain is that? We all know when we cut ourselves, no matter if we sit, if we stand, if we lie, you know, there's pain. So what kind of pain is that that comes up when we sit for 2 hours? But we believe it, oh, it's too much, I can't bear it, I die. Yeah. The moment we get up, no more pain. The same as, you know, doing walking, oh, I'm so tired. The moment we stop walking meditation, we are completely regenerated. We are not tired anymore. The moment we stop meditation, you know, the pain and tiredness goes up, goes away. So we are constantly under the sway of the kilesas. That power that keeps us in this realm of birth and death. And that is what we have to realize. And that's what the Lord Buddha said. Samsara. The cycle of birth and death. We are born as a human being, then we appear, maybe we appear in the ghost realms, or we appear as an animal, or we appear in the heavenly realm. And then from there we disappear, and then we are born in another realm. And that is without end. It's just like a roller coaster. Sometimes you go up, and then you go down. And then you go up again, and then you go down again. But if you know, a roller coaster has no start and has no end. And that's what is called samsara. But I call it, you know, a hamster wheel. Running, 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 not going anywhere. If you imagine, you know, if you picture, you know, a hamster in a hamster wheel, that's us. You're running, running, running. Oh, I did so much today. Yeah? And where did we go? Nowhere. We're still at the same point. And that is what samsara is. And the path that leads to the end of dukkha, or the path that leads to nibbana, is the path that leads to the end of the hamster wheel. Yeah? Finding the way out. Finding the door in the hamster wheel, opening the door and getting out. And then you will be happy forever. Nibbana paramang sukhang. It is the ultimate happiness. Nibbana is the ultimate happiness. Now, if I stop. If you have questions, now you can ask them. Yeah, Wendy. We will need a few weeks, you know, to get back into meditation, or body is restless. Andrew, the same. Yeah, there's lots of restlessness. You notice that? Translate. Moving around, you know, doing this movement. That's one of the hindrances. Restlessness, tiredness, yeah? Pain. You know, big hindrances. Doubt is another hindrance. Oh, I can't do that. Of course we can do it, whatever we want. I mean, the amazing thing about this citta, whatever it wants, it can do. But we doubt it. Because it's so difficult. Eh? But when you went to university, I mean, you know it takes 4 years, you know, to finish your degree, huh? But when you go for meditation course, you know, I mean, you want to finish in half a year, yeah? Huh? Or in 2 months, or 1 month, or some people, you know, come for 10 days, you know, and they want to finish. Huh? Oh, no results, yeah? I mean, go to university for 10 days, what, do you understand a thing, yeah? Nothing. It takes time, yeah? It takes a lot of time, and meditation practice takes even more time than the study at the university. So, I mean, we have to just do it, don't give up. That's the only way. It's just like learning to walk. I mean, how long did it take us, you know, a year or 1.5 years, yeah? Getting up, falling over, getting up, falling over, getting up, falling over. And that's the same thing. Yeah? Remember this, it's the same thing for our meditation practice. Today it is good, the next day it is very difficult and we want to give up. Today is not good, let's wait for tomorrow, maybe tomorrow is better. That is not meditation practice. A child, you know, a child always tries, as long as it is... As it has strength in the body, you know, it tries to get up, yeah? And it tries to walk, and then it falls, and then it snows, and it cries a little bit, and then it gets up again. And that is the spirit that we need as practitioners. Yeah? Yes? Franz? Huh? Ah. Ukraine. Huh? Oh, our life is so easy. Yeah, I mean, once you get used to this life of a monk, you know, or used to the life of living in a monastery, we get lazy. Yeah? Because we don't have the dukkha. What brings us here is the dukkha. Yeah? And the longer we've been in the world, and the longer we have worked for this body, you know, the more dukkha we have. We are not satisfied with all sorts of things. Then we come here to the monastery, find some sort of happiness, and then, oh, that's enough. Yeah? That's not it. That's not how we get out, you know, because there's the next life, yeah? As long as you don't open the door of the hamster wheel, yeah, you will come back to this life, and the next, and then the next, and the next, huh? We have lived for billions of lives, eh? One more. Next life I will do this. Eh? We don't say next life, you know, we say tomorrow or in 1 year I will do this, yeah, Kim? Yeah? It's the same thing. Doesn't matter if we say next year or next life. I still want to do this, I still want to experience this, I still want to do this or that. Huh? Okay, so, questions? Do you have any questions? No? Okay. Use the time wisely, yeah? Practice. Take the opportunity, because there are not so many places that will give you full-time opportunity to practice. Yeah? Speak up a bit.
The object can be sometimes for me Buddha, sometimes Buddha with the feet, sometimes with. But, and it's still jumping.
Yeah.
But the result are good.
Yeah.
So, if the result are good, it's okay.
It is okay in the beginning, but then, I mean, once the results are good, then try to focus just on one thing, on the Buddha, yeah, or on the breath. Because then the results will even go better. Yeah. That's what I just said. Yeah. Once we get a little bit calm, you know, we are happy, we don't put too much effort in our practice. Once you see you're getting calm and you're getting happy, then just focus on one thing. Yeah. And then you get even deeper. Okay?